Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life. To align your life with your dreams, check out my self-paced coaching program that also gives one-on-one coaching support. For just $47 per month, cancel anytime. You can find the link in the description.
Hello and welcome. I am so excited for this episode today. It was so great chatting with Alina about copywriting. And even if you're thinking, well, I don't run a business, so I don't need to listen to this episode, I assure you it is so worth listening to. We talked about how to be more you, how to do more of what makes you you and actually live your life. Alina is not only a copywriter, but she comes from years of background as a coach and a marketer and in the corporate world. She shares so much knowledge on how to actually just find joy doing what brings you joy. And so it's a really great episode. If you run a business, you can apply this knowledge to your business directly in your copywriting effort. But if you're just somebody who listens to the podcast, maybe you want to have a business one day, maybe you just love listening to the manifestation advice and you don't really want to own a business, that's totally okay. You'll still find so much value in just showing up as who you are, creating that personal brand identity. Who do you want to be known as? What are the things that you want to do? How do you want to show up on social media? These are the things that you can ask yourself. And Alina teaches you just how to do that. This was such a great, fun chat. And I think you'll see the energy that we have just radiating through the headphones that you were listening to. So without further ado, let's get started. So I'm actually really excited to chat about copywriting and to create content that is like you. Like, I love that you specifically say that, because that is exactly what I am trying to do in my life, is just like be me. But I've always said that my thing is like messaging. So like, that's not the thing I'm good at, the thing I'm not good at. So it's like, I know exactly what I want to do and how I want to do it, but like telling other people about it is like where I lack. And so, but I'm very much like, I just want to do what I want to do. Again, manifesting generator. I just had somebody that was a human design expert on, and she was like, your gates are open. That means like you have to be in flow all the time. I'm like, well, that makes sense to me. That makes 100% sense. And so, I'm really excited to chat with you. If you want to introduce yourself and let us know who you are and what you do and why you're here.
Yeah. So it's funny. I was like, where do I start? So I am a copywriter, but also marketing strategist, but also coach, but also a dancer, but also kind of all these things. So for my professional work, for the last 3.5 years, I've been solely focused on copywriting for mostly coaching clients, mostly in the spiritual space. I do have some outliers who are like, have a beautiful spa business marketing client. I have realtors. I have a hemp company. Some really cool like outliers. Most of what I do is in coaching, because I spent the last over a decade as a coach doing all the coachy things, masterminds, hosting retreats. I had a podcast for over like 300 episodes, courses, all the things that are involved in coaching. So when I transitioned to fully copywriting, I had this really beautiful history and connections. And my big thing is connections. Like, most of my business comes through referrals. So as soon as I said, I am a copywriter now, I literally had a wait list within a few months. And that's because writing and communication and language has always been my jam. Like, no matter what I did since I was a little kid, like, I have a million journals. Communication is everything to me. You know, when they said like sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you, I'm like, that is not true. Someone could really hurt your feelings. So like, I've always been obsessed with communication and reading and writing and self-expression. And so I've been a coach for many years and a strategist, and during the pandemic time, when we all sort of had our, you know, moments, I was already feeling like there's a transition coming. And as a manifesting generator, which we chatted about, there's always these like things calling to us, right? And it's up to us to figure out how to integrate all the things, how to bring most of us, parts of us, like keep what's private, but also be able to express ourselves in a way that's really authentic without, I personally don't like sort of put it all on the table. I curate like how I show up in different places. Being a Gemini as well. And like, I just have all these different parts of myself. And I think you do too. Like I was looking at your reels this morning and like, oh, she's flowers. She does like, it's so cool because I think that's, and I'm sure we'll really get into this, but that's my background. I'm a copywriter and marketing strategist. I started my career as a corporate trainer in the corporate world. I thought that was my trajectory and loved it actually. I can look back now and see how I brought myself to it. Like I was known as the trainer who used all the markers, like told stories and metaphors. And I was actually flown out to different places to teach because I was able to teach in a specific way that really was more, less corporate, more expressive, and people really liked it in the corporate world. And so the more I was myself there, the more I excelled. And so when my son was born, I decided I need to have more freedom. I need to be able to do my life on my own terms without asking for a day off. And so we actually moved to Washington State from California, and I started my first online business, like fully online. This is pre-Instagram, pre-Facebook. Like I think it was like StumbleUpon and just a few things. So when I started that business, it was an organic baby boutique because that's the stage of life I was in. And I literally, it was like the best MBA in business because I just said, I'm just going to figure it out. So I got like a computer that was, you know, focused. I had to get a certain software that only worked on this kind of computer. For my shop, I had to write all the product descriptions, source the products. I had to write articles for like parenting magazine. Like that's how I had postcards that I would send to clients. Like that's how we did lead generation then. And so I ran that for several years. I actually ended up selling that store and really going back to my love, which was coaching and teaching. And I had gotten my original first coaching certification in the corporate world back in like ICF days, International Coach Federation. And so I had been coaching then and I did events then. So I'm like, I really want to get back to something that's more freedom-based, but also I couldn't quite figure out how to do it in a way that didn't require me to be on the phone all day and go to networking breakfast at 5 a.m. and how we used to do it. So that I came across like B School, like that whole era where Marie Forleo and B School, and I joined in like 2013. I believe that was my class. And that was it. I was like super hooked on, oh my gosh, you can have a business on your laptop, freedom lifestyle. Like I really clicked into what I needed at the time. And so that's when my journey began. And so I started coaching and I was like a self-care coach for women entrepreneurs because I had gone through an autoimmune thing and just trying to heal my own body and figure out why not taking vacations and working all the time and was stressing my body out. Like, what is that? I don't understand. Like, I just love work. I really love work. So for me, I'm sure I get that vibe from you too. Like you have to really be able to like protect the work bubble and protect your life bubble and protect your play bubble because it could easily intertwine when you sort of do start bringing all of yourself to what you do. The very slippery slope to like just being available all the time for your work. And I don't think it's healthy for your business to be in it all the time either. It needs to rest. It needs to like have a downtime so you can keep generating new ideas so you can show up as yourself. Otherwise, if you're always showing up as yourself in all the things at 100%, that's where you start feeling like, oh, I feel like overwhelmed or burned out or drained because we need to be able to recuperate. We need to have that, like we know our children need to nap or they become irritable. Like we need to have our own versions of that too. Of course, it looks different as adult women, but yeah, so that's my history. That's my story. I love what I do. It's so dynamic. It's always changing. Every client is different. And it's fun. Sometimes it's not fun, but most of the time it's really fun.
I love that. Okay. There is like so much to digest there. So I'm like, I had all these thoughts as you were talking. I was like, yeah. And then it kind of left me, but they'll come back. But one of the things was, you know, doing all the things and, you know, that is a manifesting generator thing. And I love that you've done so much too. And when you're like feeling that it's time to lean into the next thing, you're just like, I'm doing it. I'm a copywriter. And I think too, like, I always talk about having to get into the identity of your next level self to to do the next level thing, right? And so in the world of manifestation or achieving goals, like, you need to be able to see that version of you so clearly. And it sounds like you stepped into being a copywriter so easily because you already were. You already identified that you were a copywriter. You're like, I'm going into this like head first. And when I started wedding planning, I did the same thing. So I started my first business as a hair and makeup artist. So I was certified in that. And then I did weddings, like mobile. I was like one of the first mobile businesses, because at that point people still went to the salon, and there was very few people who would come to you. And so I did that, but then I was like, this is like only Saturdays, I can't really make a living off of this. And I wanted to leave my full-time job because it just wasn't joyful. Like, I was, you know, micromanaged all the time, and this was not what I saw for my life. Like, it was a decent pay, it was nothing like crazy, but I could have climbed the corporate ladder. But I knew back then, I was 20 years old. I was like, this is not meant for me. Like, I need to do my own thing. I need to just put it out there. And so I took a wedding planning certification. And I remember like booking my weddings. I was dating a photographer who was fairly established at the time as well. So this helped me get my first clients in hair and makeup. And then also with wedding planning, because he was just like, oh, wow, my girlfriend does this. And so that was like an easy connection for me to get into that space. But when I was wedding planning at the, you know, the ripe age of 20, I didn't go into it nervous about being a wedding planner. I was just like, okay, I'm a wedding planner now. I'm going to be the top wedding planner. And I remember that so distinctly because I had no doubt. I knew there was a space. You know, it's a local business. There was only a couple of wedding planners. And there wasn't really anybody who was like really putting themselves out there where they were like, I'm the top wedding planner. And if it was, it was people who were from like Toronto, because I'm in Canada. So I was in Niagara Falls and it was people coming from Toronto. And so I remember there was a couple other wedding planners in the association, and they were like, don't you want to like get some experience working some weddings first? And I was like, no, like I'm confident in what I'm doing. I know how to plan a wedding. I know like I'll figure it out. And they were just like baffled that I like didn't want to get experience first. But I was so, I had already decided that's who I was. And I'm bringing this up because when I transitioned into coaching, it took me a long time to step into the identity of a coach. Like, even though I've been really good at coaching my entire life, I always thought, you know, when I do X, then I'll be able to coach people on it. I was always in that mindset. And then I took my coaching certification and I was like, okay, I got it, it's done. But I still don't really feel like a coach yet. And it took me a lot of work to really step into that. And that, I guess this was all like a side branch in the story of how you stepped into a copywriter, but, yeah, I think that, well, I just love the story.
I think it's funny. A couple of things you said really resonated. One is I feel like in my early 20s and late teens, I also was very like, I'm just going to figure it out. I was, in those early years, I had worked at like beauty salons, and I became a manager of a beauty salon at like 21 and didn't make any sense. And I'm like, I don't know, I'll just figure it out. Like, they offered it to me. There's obviously something that they see. And it was like one of those, I try to tap into that energy quite a bit because I did not have any fear. I did not have any doubt. I did not have any like what we do to ourselves now, like as you get older, like a little fear. Yeah, I think so. I do think that's probably part of it is that the responsibilities feel heavier. But that essence of who I was in that way of like, great, let's just do it. I'll figure it out. Like, I really try to channel that. Now, I think the shifts are more thoughtful and more like, when I say I just became a copywriter, actually my process is like, it's almost like that. What is that visual of the iceberg? You see the top, but you don't see all the work on the bottom. Like that happens for me without very privately. Like, I don't really share that. If it bubbles up, it bubbles up with like a joke, almost like, I should just be a copywriter. I just love to write. Like, I started to say that for like maybe 2 years, and I was getting together with my entrepreneur friends, and we would have these conversations. And anytime I was frustrated with my business or just feeling that intuitive nudge of like, this is coming to a close, and I closed the membership after like 7.5 years, and I had people from the beginning, so it was not easy. It was very emotional to say goodbye to like all people that had trusted me in that, you know, that realm. But I just kept joking about it. I think I'm just going to become a copywriter. It's like knowing that it's not just one thing. It's like a process to become a copywriter. So that was happening for like maybe 2 years underneath the surface. And it would like bubble up as a joke. And the more it bubbled up, the more I paid attention to it. I was like, maybe there's something there. But of course, then it's like all the fear and how am I going to get clients and what are people going to think if I just sort of shift? But that's part of who I am. Part of like that shift is really part of who I am to be able to demonstrate. And it's not for everyone because I think it does take a certain internal fortitude to just trust that it wasn't even a leap, right? It looks like a leap, but it's like little step, little step, little step. But by the time people see it, it looks like you just, like jump the canyon, but really you've been like building that bridge in your mind for a long time. So for me, that's really how it happened. And I did my research. I actually thought I was going to go into like more of a partner affiliate work because I had a friend who was like, you'd be really good at this because you have a great personality. I'm like, yeah, maybe. Let me just kind of step in that direction and see. And although it was a wrong direction for me because I did like certain elements of it, through that process, I met the woman who was leading the certification program for copywriting. I was like, oh, how interesting how you have to misstep sometimes to get to where you want to go, which is why there are really no mistakes. If you can just breathe into understanding that there are no mistakes, there are no wrong steps, because that led me to what I do now, which I love. And I thought I don't know that I would have gotten that specific path. It might have been different. It would have been a whole different path. But so I think for people watching other people make moves that they want to make, it's not just one thought. It's not one day. It's not one moment. It's like and this is really how I write too, and how I lead my clients to be able to trust that, look, we're doing this project, whatever it is, whether it's a launch or a new program or a sales page, like we're not going to get it 100% right. We don't know that until we put it out in the world and have feedback. We have to build in feedback loops. We have to test your messaging. We have to understand. We have to like really tune into when you do have that feeling of like, yep, this is it. We don't know still that it's going to be 100%. That's really how I try to live, how I try to lead my clients, and how I try to write, knowing that like you can't I write very quickly because I know what it feels like when like I'm in flow. But I don't take a week to write a blog post. I can write a blog post in like an hour, whereas I see people like, oh, it just took me 2 weeks to write this one thing. I'm like, that for me just demonstrates a couple of things. One is either just you're very, very detailed and it's hard for you to get out of the weeds, which is a certain personality type. Or the other thing is you're overthinking it and you're not trusting that the first version, the 75% done version is going to be okay enough to get to the next thing. Because you don't know. Like you might think you just created the most brilliant thing, but the thing that really pops is the thing you created intuitively quickly, right? Like that's like reels or posting. If you think that thing is brilliant and you get nothing, maybe a few likes, but that thing that you posted that just was like an intuitive hit in the moment, people are just like, tell me about that recipe. I want to know all the things. You're so amazing. So I feel like it's very experimental, and that's how life feels sometimes too. It's very experimental.
Yeah. And really that is life, because that's living. Like, if you weren't living life, you would just be thinking about it all the time. Like, oh, maybe I should try that. And then you don't do it. And then are you really living your life? If you're like, I should go on a hike today. And so you sit there and you think about it and then you don't do it. Like, that's not living life. That's thinking about living life, right? You're like, I should go on a vacation, and you take no action steps to like save money for a vacation or kind of even dream about where you want to go. Like, that's not living life. And it's all an experiment. And maybe you go somewhere and you don't even like that place. Like, you don't know until you get there. It's funny. I want to go back to what you said about there's no mistakes, because I think about this all the time. It's just like always on my brain. And I was thinking about it yesterday morning specifically, thinking like, do we have one path that no matter what, we're going to get to the same place? Or do we have my deep thoughts that I think to myself, or do we have like multiple versions of where we actually could go? And who knows? But I think about it all the time, because it's like, there's no mistakes. I believe that. And everything that happens, happens for a reason. Like you declare to the universe what you want, and then it aligns so you can get those things. So you'll lose a job and you think it's terrible, but it's actually so that you can go get this other job or start your own business or do whatever, even just to learn a lesson. You know, you get into relationships with shitty people, but then you meet better people after that or because of them. Like I think I've told this story in the podcast before, but I met my husband because I was dating somebody who had a kid. And when we broke up, that the baby mama, and that's a good title for her, she was like, do you want to go out one day? And I was like, well, sure, because I'm not going to meet anybody sitting at home. Like, nothing's going to happen sitting at home. And again, like, living life, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I went out and I was like, I'm never going out with this person again. But through that, I met her friend, who I actually ended up becoming really good friends with. And her brother was in the Navy and my husband was in the Navy. So they had sailed together. And my husband was in like a temporary position in Niagara, but he was actually based on the West Coast. So it was just like by chance, like if that all didn't line up, if I didn't date that person, like I literally never would have met my husband. And just like to go through all that, and like that was, it was not a great relationship. And he was like a pathological liar and it was like crazy. And then the baby mama, like it was like a whole bunch of things. Like to actually, like if I told you all the details of the story, it's insane. But then if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have met my husband. Like it's just blows my mind.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the same person that would have had the same story wouldn't have put the pieces together that way to really understand. Because I think what happens, and it's funny, I was just writing about this in my journal this morning, like I think we over glamorize the path not taken, right? It's like your path taken, maybe had pitfall, it's life, it's gonna have pitfalls and moments and wrong turns and anxiety and like, what did I just do? Or did I like, and but we think the path we didn't take would have been like dreamy flower covered pathways with diamond sparkles flowing all over you, like that path that you didn't choose, right? And yet here we are, and you are where you are, right? This is the path that you took. And I love that lens. And I have the same exact lens. Like I think we're definitely like soul sisters there, because I feel like there's a kind of person who can look back and say, okay, if this didn't happen, that would happen. This didn't happen, that would happen. But you can do it through different lenses. You can say, woe is me, if this didn't happen, that would happen, like all the negative side of it. Or you can flip it and say, well, look, this is where I am now. This must be. And I think this is where maybe having some sense of a higher connection really helps, because we don't know what we don't know. And I think some of the best like insight I ever heard that clicked in so deeply into my soul is that God or source, the universe, doesn't give you the next 27 steps. It only you get the one. And if you can trust that one, then the next one opens. And if you could trust that one, then the next one opens. And I'm just getting chills as I say that, because it's such a huge reminder, because we can spend months, years, decades waiting to take that one step for the perfect circumstances that do not ever exist. There's no such thing. Like it could be a rainy day or a sunny day. You could have an up day or a down day. Your kid could be sick or they could be healthy. You can have drama going on in your family or political landscape or not. Those things are like the floating things all around you. The only thing that we can do is like move one foot or the other. It's not to discount all of the things that we have as humans, from trauma to neurodivergence to past history to fears to real money issues to, like, you know, we have that sort of Maslow's hierarchy. It's a real thing. Like if your needs aren't met, if your basic needs aren't met, probably shouldn't be thinking vision board. You should probably like get resources and ask for help ASAP. If your needs are met and you have all of that, that's actually where most overthinking occurs, because the comfort is so comfy cozy, right? It's so squirrely cozy that you're like, well, you know, this might just disrupt things. This is where your fear is coming in, right? So I think I love the way you reflect on your story, because if you're doing that backwards, we can also do that forward. Like if I take the next step, I'll be met with the next opportunity. If I take the next step, what I need in that moment will be revealed. And for me, that's like, if I can live that way most of the time, then I'm much better. Like I can just trust that this is a rest moment, this is a creative moment, this is a hustle moment. Like there's a time for everything. But if I can just trust that very next idea is the thing, and I have my criteria in place and I have my values and all the, you know, the sort of the foundational work, then I can say, I'm going to try this copywriting thing. And I don't know, Like when someone says, what's your 5-year plan? Really no clue. No clue. I can try to create a little vision, but if I look back 5 years, I had no idea. Like certain elements of my life popped out of the blue, certain relationships I thought were over bloomed, things I thought would bloom were over. Like there was just so many elements that, you know, I don't know. And I really bring that sense of mystery and unknowing to my work too, because I don't get bogged down in, well, maybe I do for a moment. Like when things aren't going perfectly, I'm like, oh, maybe I should just go work at Starbucks. You know, like I should just go do something else. Like, but the funny thing is, like the more highly successful women I work with, and I work mostly with female entrepreneurs in the spiritual space, behind the scenes, 7-figure, 8-figure, 6-figure, whatever, it's not different. It's the same thing. But what they have that you and I are talking about right now is a sense of trusting the unknown. If that skill is the one skill you work on, that's going to like help you, not catapult you necessarily if you don't want to leap, but it'll help you take the next step. Because once you get comfortable with that unknown, you get into the present moment, and then you start figuring out those like somatic in your body markers of like, okay, I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling this is like in the right direction. I'm going to take that next step versus trying to do it from your brain, which is not the decision maker. It's actually the project manager. Like your heart and your gut are the decision makers, right? And then once you have that and you speak it and it's out there, and then you give it to your brain to start figuring out the pieces. Like that's your project manager. If you're trying to make decisions with your project manager, it's always going to be overwhelming because your project manager wants to know the 58 million details that are coming in the next 2 months. And you're like, I don't know. Like, I just can't see that far. Versus like, okay, this today feels really good. What are all the things I need to do today to make this feel right and aligned and move forward? One thing. And tomorrow I'll do the same thing. Then the next day I'll do the same thing. And now 3.5 years later, I'm like, oh my God, I worked with these incredible clients. I've gotten these incredible projects. Like I had no idea. If you told me then that was coming, I would not have known how. I wouldn't have known like, how is that going to happen? Can I do it? Am I good enough? Like all that, you know, self-talk stuff versus like today, this is in front of me. What can I do today? And that's really how I think some of the best things happen. If you just say yes to like, even when I saw your, you know, your inquiry for podcast, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's figure it out. And it was a yes. Great. If it's not, awesome too. Like no problem. You gotta let it go.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, I love that. And, you know, it's trust in something bigger that like there are things that I doubt. But even if you're not there yet, if you're like listening to this and you're like, okay, I'm kind of into this, but like I'm not quite ready to just like trust that big. It's just trusting yourself. How do you feel that day? When you wake up, like check in, do your body scan. It doesn't even have to be like a full like, oh, where do I feel things? It's like, do I feel tired today? Well, maybe I just do a few like less things. Maybe I just work on things that don't take a whole lot of energy and effort, but they're things that will still propel me forward, right? And trusting that you will work based better, like you'll work better based on how you are feeling. And there's going to be days, especially as women and in our cycle, there are days where you are going to put more in and you're going to be more productive and have more energy and be more motivated because that's just how your cycle is, right? Like it's meant for you to do more that week. And then there's going to be periods of rest. And like you were talking about earlier, is that we need to rest and to know that, okay, today, you know, I know on Wednesdays and Thursdays, I record podcasts, but no matter what, I'm going to do those because I have committed to those. And unless something like, well, this one time my car like blew up and I had to cancel a podcast episode. Literally, it was like smoking out the back. So I was like, I'm so sorry, I have to deal with this. But other than that, it's like, I know I'm going to show up, but like on Mondays, I don't have anything until the afternoon. So it's like, okay, how do I feel today? What do I want to get done? Well, I know I'm probably going to record a podcast, like a solo podcast or tomorrow, but I can do that at any time because nobody's relying on me. It's just for me. And I'm going to wait until I feel like a little bit inspired about something to talk about if I hadn't already done it the week before. How do I feel? Do I feel like I want to go sit at my desk and get a whole bunch of stuff done? Or do I feel like I just maybe want to like clean the house a little bit? Maybe I want to spend some time like watching some master classes and learning and just like drinking my coffee. Like every one of those things propels me forward. Even cleaning my house propels me forward because it opens up space to receive. It makes me feel better. It makes me think better. So maybe on a Monday, if I didn't get my house cleaned on the weekend and it's disastrous, if I spend that time cleaning, then on Tuesday, I'm going to go to work. You know, when I wake up, I'm going to be like, okay, this feels better. I feel like I have so much stuff coming in now. I feel like there's space. I feel good. And so trusting that you know how you're feeling and to work from there. Like, I can't stand when people are like, oh, you have to work so hard and you have to do all this stuff. And I just watched the Martha Stewart Masterclass, like on Masterclass the other day. And she talks about, oh, it requires hard work, hard work, hard work. And I'm not saying that goals don't take hard work. I say in air quotes, it does. It takes a lot of sacrifice and motivation and willpower and working towards something. But I don't agree that you have to put in hard work to the amount of like burning yourself out. And I mean, I'm not Martha Stewart and I don't have $1 billion business. So maybe she's going to something I'm not, but she also has a gigantic team of people that are doing hard work for her, right? Like, yes, she's showing up and she's doing what she needs to do, but she's not doing all of that alone. Like, she has thousands of people that work for her in different capacities. So there's something about that too, right? Hard work isn't like do everything yourself all alone and keep working so hard that you burn yourself out. Because if you burn yourself out, well, then what?
Totally. And yeah, so I totally agree with that. I think it's really important to understand your own energy management, right? Because I think people work on time management, but it's not really time management. It's about managing your energy flow. So for me, and I think you said something I just want to make sure I address. Some people are like, well, I hear you saying all the trust and all, you know, I'm not quite there yet. I don't know how to take the next step. And I will say, like, as I said, from my own experience in the last 20 years, but also working with amazing, high level, successful, externally successful people, they don't know either. They have really smart people working on their team. They've delegated to copywriting and marketing. Like, they're not doing all the thing themselves. But when we're first starting out, we are doing all the things ourselves, which can be very slippery slope into burnout. So I think a couple of things. One is I have learned, like, I've just hired an OBM who is helping me with a very specific part of my business that I just have not had time to. I'm still procrastinating on it. Like, she's giving me stuff to do and I'm like, I'm still procrastinating on. Someone else is telling me what to do now. It's just, you know, I have to sort of navigate that very compassionately with myself because, you know, is this something I really want to do? Am I procrastinating because it's not time? Am I procrastinating because I'm scared it's not going to work? Like, all these different things. So it's still, even when you see someone who really trusts themselves deeply, it's not 100% of the time, all the time. I still wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm like, you know, why am I still waking up at 3 a.m? So I have these cues that my body, my sleep will give me to know where I'm on and off. And that's taken many, many years of development. I've done a ton of inner work. Like, I've had all the coaches, I've gotten the retreats, I've hosted the retreats, I've journaled until my hand cramps. Like, I've done all the somatic work. Like, I've done all that, but it's not one and done. It's a lifetime exploration, right? The other thing is I've learned for myself that I like to plan my week in advance, only a week in advance. Like, I definitely do my quarterly sort of visioning, but for my week, it's only a week out. So, like, what is the most important thing this week? And of course, I have my client, like, I have retainer clients, so I have their ongoing goals that I'm, you know, working on their product and projects. But for me, if I can see a week in advance and I can kind of see it as an arc. So in my week, I used to teach this. I used to teach like a 3-step calendar system for women who are entrepreneurs. And the first layer is always you, not your kids, not your partner, husband, or whatever. It's you. So what do I need this week to maintain, to show up, to build my energy? And for me, it's dancing. Like, I take 4 dance classes a week right now. And some people might look at that and be like, oh, I can't do 4 dance classes a week because I have so much work to do. And I'm like, well, in order for me to do all that work, I need to be in this space of movement and joy and following, making sure that my life is filled with what's important to me. And to me, it's dancing. It's not the same. I have 4 different dance classes. Like, that's what I do. Like, sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 4. Ideally, it's 4 because I love it. On the busier weeks, it might be 1 or 2, but it's still there. Always on the calendar. It's there when there's time. Then the second layer is my family stuff, like for my son, for my husband, responsibilities around the house. And then comes my business. So it's not inverted. Like if you started with only putting your business on the calendar first, you would eventually, maybe a month from now, maybe 6 months from now, you would look back and be like, who am I? What am I? What am I doing? Do I love this anymore? And the work might still be something you love, but because you've neglected yourself, it's going to feel backwards, right? So that's why, and I've done that plenty of times. So I think the trust is a thing you develop by understanding your rhythms, your business model. I prefer simplicity. And when I get a little overcomplicated, that's when I start waking up in the middle of the night. Like, wait, too much. Like, what needs to be delegated? What can I just cut out and no one will ever know? These are my dream, my vision. So if I just cut something out, no one's going to come down from the heavens and be like, oh, Elena, you didn't do that thing. Like, it's just my life. I just get to decide. So, and I'm very grateful for that freedom, you know, that I do get to decide, but it's not always lovely. It's not always joyful, but that's when you need, I think what you said, like, is that Martha Stewart has her billion-dollar business and her, you know, multi whatever team. For us in our realm, that to me, I feel, and I used to teach this quite a bit, I really believe in this. You have to have some sort of circle of support, whether it's one person you can like totally complain to every once in a while, like just vent and get it out without being judged. Someone who can be that cheerleader for you, could be different people. You need to be able to have that support system, whether you pay for it in your business, you have it in your personal life, or you, because I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like asking for help hasn't been a real skill that I've had to build. It just comes from being a latchkey kid, super independent. Like I was just super, super independent. I picked my own college. Like I never had advice and I was just a personality who didn't really need it. But now it shows up in sort of dysfunctional ways, right? Because if I do need support, like I'll figure it out. Before I come to someone with my problem, I've figured out first and then I'll sort of come and show that I've already figured it out. Like that's sort of my pattern, but I have to recognize it. So now I do have two other women who are actually copywriters as well. So they sort of know my realm and we just have this little boxer channel going all the time. I'm like, okay, I need to vent. And even saying that is like a big win for me because I, you know, in the past I would have felt like, oh, I can't manifest if I'm complaining. I can't manifest if something's wrong. Not true. What is actually for me happening is if you don't let it out, then it builds up in your body and then you're energetically blocked anyway. So you might as well just, which is what dancing does for me too, because whatever I'm feeling, it's going to be sweated out. It's going to be sometimes cried out, sometimes, you know, journaled out, sometimes walked out. But that's our version of the Martha Stewart support system. Like we need to have our own. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, but like Martha Stewart, she started her company when she was 50, but it was really after she got divorced. Like she was starting to work towards her company. And then she got divorced because her being maybe that busy, just maybe finding the success, whatever it was, didn't jive with her husband. So they got divorced and she's never been married since. So she has her one child, but her business is literally her life, and maybe that's what she wants and that's okay for some people, but for me, like, that's not what I want. I want to build a business that supports my life, not run a business that is my life. And there's a difference, right? Like she, like watching this documentary, she lives on her farm and she gets up every day and she has meetings with her farm staff, and like that's her life. Like that is literally what she does, and good for her, but like that is not what I want either. So you know, to say something, oh, it requires all this hard work. And again, I'm not saying that there's no hard work required, but what's hard, right? And it's like, well, what do you want out of your life? Because you can literally live any life that you want to live, but you need to be clear on the life that you want to live. And you know, when you said, when people say, what's your five-year plan? Like, I don't know either. I find it very hard to see the specifics there, but I know, like, who I want to be. I know who I want to spend my time with. I know that I want to spend my time in a house that I love. Like it always comes down to my core values of what I want. And I see that and I see it built up. And, you know, like I always picture like a garden and cooking and spending time with the family and coaching. But it's not specific. And it's very hard for me to also specifically see that because who knows what could happen in 5 years. And yeah, when you're looking back, like 5 years ago, it's crazy. We were just moving across the country. And like, I was just starting my business over again. I wasn't coaching yet. Like, it's just blows my mind to think of all the things that change like every 5 years. So when people are like 5 or 10 year plan, I'm like, I don't know. Hey, podcast fam, are you ready to crush your goals and manifest your dreams? Then listen up, because I've got a secret weapon to share with you. Happy Juice. Happy Juice isn't just any drink. It's a cortisol-lowering, mood-boosting elixir that supports your microbiome and enhances your gut-brain connection. And let me tell you, it's a total game changer. With clinically proven results, like a 60% decrease in irritability, 55% decrease in anxiousness, and a whopping 211% increase in positive mood, Happy Juice is the key to unlocking your full potential. Plus, you can score a $10 off discount using the link in the show notes. So why wait? Click the link, grab your Happy Juice, and start manifesting your best life today. Trust me, your future self will thank you.
Okay. So yes, getting back into it. So when we're talking about all this, and you know, we're talking a lot about intuition and being able to really sit in with that. And I think that's such a great way to transition into how do we use our intuition for writing copy? How do we use what we are doing and what we want to say and what we feel like, and then also using it to tell other people what we want to know and to get them to trust us and to buy with us and all the things?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. So, and my big sort of messaging from what makes me a different kind of copywriter is that I do combine intuition plus strategy. So I've always had this gift from my coaching background of being able to hear you and like sort of watch as you're speaking and see what is exciting to you and what really is that thing that you can talk about. Like if someone just threw you on stage and said, teach us, you're like, okay. You know, and that's happened to me multiple times. Actually, when I was a corporate trainer, we had this impromptu training where like the CEO of our division came and they're like, okay, for this training, you're going to create a 20-minute training for us. I'm like, oh, okay. I remember I was like, and it was a corporate environment, it was an insurance company, and I was a senior trainer, and I'm like, I'm going to teach them how to do a yoga pose and meditation. That's what came to me. And like, this is what I could talk about right now, anytime, because that's what I'm really into personally. And it was so good. They were like, were loving the meditation. They loved the training. They like, they were so, first of all, they enjoyed the yoga, and then it was like a 20-minute thing. And I combined my skills of creating like what I knew was a good structured training, but also these things that I could just sort of flow out of me. So when you're looking at your business, when you're looking at what you want to talk about, it's a combination, right? People want to know that you are an expert, you are good at what you do. So there's the social proof and the testimonials, there's pieces of your business that show that you do know what you're doing. Like you can actually have a methodology, you have some sort of framework, you have something that you've claimed and you're teaching. Again, don't overcomplicate it. Like I have my 3-step practices. I have certain ways I write emails and actually creating from my copy shop, my copy snacks. One of the things I am adding to it because of this very question is how do I write intuitively to still like show up as an expert, is I'm creating not only the trainings every month and the like PDF downloadables, but I'm adding in what I love to do, which is guided intuitive writing meditations, how to get into that place of really accessing your genius, how to trust that gift that you're about to share. And I have a lot of meditations like on Insight Timer and on my podcast, but I haven't really geared them towards the writing process itself and messaging. So that's what I'm going to do. But in general, what I look for when I'm having sort of my branding sessions with new clients, and we spend 90 minutes together really getting into what their core pillars are, who their client is. Not just demographically, but psychologically, what their clients are going through, where they were, where they are now, where they want to go, what their there is. And not their there as like 5 years from now, but what is it that when they wake up at 3 a.m, what are they dreaming about? What are they regretting? What are they not doing? What is it that they wish if they can just paint their beautiful day with, what would that look like? And then we start to, you know, piece out the messages. What are the key messages that you always want to talk about? And part of this is really understanding like the thing that you say over and over and over again, that's your key message. And I we do overcomplicate it, and we take branding courses, and we do all these messaging courses, and we just, you know, we want to emulate people who we think are successful. So I think we just put to, you know, we pull pieces from other people's work, and then we sort of have this tapestry that's not really you. But if you can just take that off for a minute and trust that, like, yes, I'm a copywriter, yes, I'm a marketing strategist, but I lead with intuition. I lead with my energy. I lead by having very developed listening skills. Like, when I first started recording video blogs, my very first video blog, I still have it. It was called Discernment Versus Judgment, and it was 20 minutes. And yes, I'm a New Yorker, like, I talk fast, but holy cow, it was 20 minutes of no breath. Like, I just talked so fast the entire time. When I pulled it into iMovie to edit, I could not edit. Like, I had to keep cutting myself off because I literally did not stop for a minute. Like, I just kept talking. I was like this. And I don't even know how I breathe. I just kept going. And I had examples and metaphors. And, like, I just kept going. So I was so nervous. I was actually wearing a green shirt too, like I am today. But I remember it. And I remember getting off. And I was like, oh, I'm exhausted. And the same thing happened when I had my very first coaching call. I was trying to get it right. And I was, I had all these papers laid out in front of me. And I was referred to the CEO. He's like in his 50s. And he was a referral that he wouldn't have been my general client. But it was money. I was referred. I was like, let me try it. And I had, like, all my coaching sheets out, and I could barely hear him because I was trying to think of the next question I was trying to ask. And after that call was 60 minutes, I was sweating. I literally had sweat through my suit. And I'm like, if this is coaching, I can't do it. Like, this is too much. And then I went to my coach, and we had these sessions, and, like, I really got clarity. And the next time I spoke to him, and I coached him for like a year, and he had no idea. I was like half his age. He had no idea. He'd never seen me. It was all over the phone. We did meet at the end, and he was very, like, he was grateful, but we had a great, because I coached my way. And so the next time I had no paper except for a blank sheet of notes. And I just, like, I grounded myself. I breathed. I asked questions. I listened. I took pivots when we needed to. And it was amazing. Like, I led him through a meditation, which I was not planning to do, but I felt like, I'm like, are you open to just this moment of closing your eyes for a few minutes? Because I feel like we really need to get out of your head and, like, into your body. And we did it. And he was, like, the CEO of his company following my lead. And it just, like, I really have to anchor those moments in, because now when I work with clients, they've maybe worked with copywriters before. Maybe they haven't, maybe they have assumptions, and it's never like that, because I'm very, like, I just really want to connect with the person. I want to know what's worked before and what hasn't worked before, but really I want to know, like, what is alive for you now? Like, what are we going to do now? So when you're someone who's looking at, well, what do I share? How do I share? What's the right way to share? There isn't one. Like, you just, and because the algorithm, I actually went on Instagram this morning, and it was, I forgot his name, Brock something. He's like Shailene Johnson's son. And he was like, this is not working anymore. You have to do it like this. And I'm like, ugh, another thing that's not working anymore. We have to do it all over again. So, but I was like playful, you know, but that just goes to show you the algorithm's always changing. Instagram just changed recently. Have you noticed when you click on the little, like, I don't know, all the links are like these little weird images. I'm like, why is it all sideways now? Like, why can't it just be straight? Because we don't like change. We like things a certain way. So when it comes to sharing, again, it's all an experiment, and I never guarantee results. Like, we can't know that this is going to convert at 3%. We don't know. We're going to test things. We're going to try things out. We're going to see. And people who've been doing it for a long time, they really understand that. But the only way you're going to know is if you take some time to, like, connect with yourself, whatever that looks like for you, whether it's sitting down with a pen and paper, whether it's going to a busy coffee shop and being inspired, whether it's walking through a museum, whether it's watching a documentary, like, I don't know. I always have a place to capture my ideas. I always have ideas for B-roll, and I have a little album on my phone that's called B-roll of, like, random things. Me walking my dog. I live in a forest. So sometimes if I'm walking, it's particularly beautiful out, I will capture some B-roll, or my feet walking, or me working. Like, so it's always there. When I do have an inspired moment, I have content to sort of back it up. And I'm playing with a lot of that, like, sort of faithless stuff right now. People are, or actually I haven't posted on Instagram for like 3 days. Oh, it feels rebellious and good. Like, I'm not promoting anything at the moment. I will today record something because I'm putting some new products in my copy shop, but other than that, like, I do trust that. And what I've heard from other people is like, your content looks so intentional. Like, it's totally random. Like, but what it is intentional because it's intentional overall. Like, I know what I want to share, and I try not to, as much as possible, I try not to just post for posting's sake. I'd rather share someone else's brilliant content if I don't know what to share, or if I don't know what to share, if I can just like go for a walk for 10 minutes and say, okay, what is valuable to share today? What am I feeling? What can I reflect on? What just happened recently? Maybe like a customer service situation, or maybe some really cool, like I just saw, I was sharing with a friend, there's a muffin place like an hour away, and my husband and I went there, and they had the most hilarious copy. Like, every muffin was described in this like totally like sassy, like, I can't even describe it. Like, you have to see it, but it's very funny. And like, what you would never think, like a muffin place with comedy, or, you know, but it makes me think about it. And it's been, I tell so many people about it. I'm like, you have to go check out their site. You have to go visit. Their muffins are great, but their copy is hilarious. Like, so I try to share that kind of thing, because they showed up, this random little mom and pop. They're a grocery that has a bakery in the back. It's not even like a muffin shop, but they literally sell out every day by like 11. You have to get there first thing in the morning because they are so unique. I mean, obviously your product has to be good, right? Your coaching offers, your services, what you're offering has to be good, proven, tested, right? Even if it's the first time you're offering it, you have to test it. And then you can start to think about, well, what is the personality that I want to show up with? Or like, authentic is tricky, I think, because it's a buzzword. But authentic changes because we are cyclical. Like, today I might feel very outgoing and like I'm showing up. And you know, other days I'm like, and time to conclude. Like, I do not want to show up today, right? Like what you were saying, like, how do I feel today? But for me, I found that having certain anchor points, like you do with your podcast, like I know on Tuesday and Wednesday that I record my podcast, like if you have those anchors within your week, and that's the thing that you get done this week, and those are the check marks, and you can feel good about it on Friday. Like, I love this question. What will feel good to have done? Because not everything feels good in the doing. Not everything feels good sometimes until you start doing it. Right, like going to the gym. Like, once you get there, you're like, oh, I'm so fabulous. I love this. This is great. I'm working out. Versus like, oh, I just want to stay in bed an extra 10 minutes, right? It's not going to feel fabulous to get out of bed and be cold and have to get dressed. But will it feel good to have done it? Yes. So there's a maturity. There's like a wisdom that comes with the experience too of having done things that, like, do you love cleaning the dishes? Maybe you do. I actually really enjoy it. But I love a clean sink at the end of the day. So that's where I'm going for. And I think in business, we can benefit from thinking about those mundane tasks, like the weekly meeting to check in on your accounts, making sure your bookkeeping is getting done, making sure that you're, you know, writing the emails or whatever the mundane task for you is. How can you do it? First of all, how can you do it in a way that is authentic to you? Like, if you see 100 other people doing this kind of email, but you're like, it's boring, I don't like it. Like, what if I just did a video? What if I just recorded a video as an email or an audio? Oh, I could leave an audio note for my newsletter. How fun. Like, what if you explored ways that you want to show up, right? Like, for me, when I present a copy project to my clients, I always record a video walking them through it, giving my thoughts, pointing out places where I need their feedback, where I need their information. And people are like, oh my God, they gush over it. Because they're like, so few people take that extra step to do that thing that, for me, I know I do well in video. I know I really connect. I take my time. Same thing with audio. And I think it doesn't mean you have to do video or audio, but what is your version of like, ooh, I like that. And sometimes we do notice, who are you drawn to? What kind of content are you like? If I can sit and watch someone drawing for a long time, what is it about that? It doesn't mean that I have to do that video. It's just like, what is it about that video that draws me in? There's an intimacy to it. There's something being created. There's maybe I like the colors, right? So what is my version of that? Is it me sitting and writing in a beautiful hotel and like taking B-roll of that because it's very intimate and it's me doing my work? this is my work. I'm not an artist. I'm a writer. So it's me writing with my favorite kombucha with a glass of water. Like, what is that version of someone seeing me and saying, ooh, I like how she does that. Let me lean closer. And I call it red light, green light, yellow light content. Like, the green light content is when someone wants to move closer to you. Like, oh, that made them resonate. They're magnetized. They're coming closer. Red light is like, near, not for me, going that way. And yellow light is ambivalence. It's the worst one because they don't know what the hell you're talking about. Or like, you're rambling, you're not clear, you don't have one main thing. And I'm probably guilty of this too, because I do like to ramble, which is why you get a podcast, so you can just talk for hours. So, but I do love that sort of just, you know, stream of consciousness. But for an algorithm, you know, a 90-second video of you talking, it's probably not going to be as effective as a 30-second video of you making one point and a clear action step, whatever it is, like this, comment, download this, whatever. So I think there's a refining process that I help my clients go through, but you could totally do it for yourself and just start watching. Like, oh, I really resonate with this kind of content, but I don't have to create that exact thing. What is it about it that is similar in my life, in my work, that I can demonstrate? Like, can you demonstrate your work? Like, I saw a video of you putting in the flowers. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, it's not something I think I could do, but there's a resonance to you creating beauty in that way. And like, oh, that's fun. Like, just there's something about that that caught my attention. Doesn't mean that I'm going to now go and make flowers, but I'm leaning closer to you and I'm going to click on your profile. I'm like, oh, this is a coach who, like, my subconscious recognizes that you like beauty, that you're a family person, that like, they're learning things about you that's moving me closer to you. That then if it's time for you to make an offer, I already feel like I know a little more about you. So the tendency for me might be to hire someone who I can connect with in that way. Versus like coach A, coach B, expertise, methodology, great website. And now how do you choose, right? It's going to be the person you connect with on an emotional level. And that is through sharing the things that you love, how you work, your values, what's important to you, as much or as little about your life as you want to. And that's how you build your website. That's how you build your offers. That's how you connect between offers so that, you know, the whole, like, if you build it, they will come is really accurate in the opposite. It's not how it works. Like, when, just think about, like, if you have like the next Star Wars film coming out, they're promoting that baby a year in advance so that by the time it launches, there is a line of people sleeping outside for 2 days to get that ticket because they promoted it so well for the right person. Not everyone. I'm not doing that. I'm like, who cares? I'll wait till it's on Netflix. But like, you know, for the right person, it's going to build up that anxiety. It's going to build up the anticipation, maybe anxiety for some people. So I think that's a really clear approach to how to choose what you post, what your messaging is, and we don't need to overthink it too much, because really your branding is a combination of your expertise, your personality, the way you show up, who you want to connect with, because you're a coach, but you could be coaching, you know, someone who's not in my avatar, my demographic, or my psychology, but I still connect. And that's the crazy thing. Even though, and this is what people sort of resist a little bit, is to choose that really niche. Like, when you do choose that niche, like, I work with spiritual coaches, mostly female, in the six-figure plus realm, because those are the people who understand it's time to delegate to a copywriter. That's the only reason. And I created my copy shop for new entrepreneurs or newer entrepreneurs who are still in the do-it-yourself phase, which is great, but they get tools. They don't need me at multiple thousands of dollars. They need a tool they can implement right now in their business to help their messaging or their prompts. So when you're showing up, it is important to know who you're talking to. But more importantly than that, it's being your most authentic self. Like, I've actually been hired. Like, when I've posted my dance videos, I've had messages like, I just love your vibe. And I see you're a copywriter, let's talk. Literally, like, that kind of message where I just showed up, I shared my pre-writing process, and I got an 18-month retainer with this incredible entrepreneur who I had been following. And I was like, that was magic. That was awesome. Like, that was really validating, because I wasn't doing it to, like, just do it. I was like, oh, I'm feeling like I'm going to do it. Why don't I just hit record and just in my office and just press record and just post it. This is what I'm doing before I'm writing a sales page. And it was like that, so simple. It was inspired. It wasn't preconceived like a year ago. Like I just did it in that moment, and I literally got a client. Well, obviously, once we connected, then I had to have the chops in the background, the portfolio to get that opportunity. But to meet that opportunity, it was because I showed up as my most me. And from that moment, if I could have biffed that conversation, right? I could have still like not had the right background they were looking for, but it was a match. And that's kind of where your authenticity meets opportunity, but you have to have something to share, right? So once you've done that work and you're showing up as yourself, that's when like synchronicities, opportunities, oh, that email came out of the blue. Like I've had things happen out of the blue after a decade of work, right? Like I was invited to be a guest on the Mel Robbins TV show when it was still around just before the pandemic hit. That's because I had done many years of teaching self-care to entrepreneurs, and that's what they wanted me for. And it was like, holy crap, that was so cool, because oh, it just came out of the blue. Yeah, but not really, because when they saw my background, what I had done, the kind of things I was teaching, and then we had a conversation and the producer was like, we love your vibe. We love your voice. You're coming out. And I'm like, oh, you know, was it crazy? I can talk about like that whole like upper limit kind of thing that happens. But in that moment, it was me showing up for a long time with the need that someone had, and it matched in that moment. But if you're not showing, if you're hiding parts of yourself, if you're not showing up, I mean, I went on the Mel Robbins show and I had the audience stand up and dance and move their body, because that's what I love to do. But if I was like, oh, I have to be the right kind of guest and do the right kind of thing and do what everyone else has done, then it wouldn't have worked anyway. Like I was going to show up and be me, like professional, well-dressed, hair done, makeup done. But still, what I teach is movement and breath and meditation and intuition. And that's really what I showed up in. And afterwards, I was like, that was crazy to think that me doing what I love to do led to this. But that is how it works, isn't it? Like I couldn't have over-engineered that. I don't have a PR team. I wasn't outreaching. Like it just was like timing, preparedness, the moment. And you have to say yes. You have to say yes too. Because I could have easily said no, because it was very complicated. I had to like, we were already doing a family trip. I would have to go to the trip with my family, fly to New York, and then back to my trip. So it was like, will I give myself permission to do that? And I did. And my husband was super supportive. He's like, yeah, go. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going. And not that I needed that permission, but like it was disrupting our family vacation, you know, to go to New York and back by myself. But it was like, so a combination of things will meet you once you start showing up as the most you. But that takes a little refinement and curating as well. So you really need to have the expertise, but also like just show up as you.
Yeah, I love that. And it made me think of this podcast that I listened to, and I think it was like about Instagram strategy, but she was talking about how she was hiring like a voice coach because she had an opportunity to speak on stage. So same thing. She had never spoken in a public crowd before, but she's like, I'm going to hire somebody who can help me with this. But she wasn't ready to actually hire somebody yet. So she followed a couple people on Instagram. And the one person, she like, you know, all she did was post about like her offer or like speaking tips or whatever. And like, and that was it. And she's like, that's great, but like, I'm not really ready to pay attention to it yet. Like I followed you because I will be ready, but I'm not quite ready yet. So she would just kind of like fluff through those stories. She like, the other person would like, tell me these crazy stories about what happened in her day. And it had nothing relevant to hiring, like to being a voice coach or to helping her speak. But I was like enticed by listening to her story, right? Like she's telling me a story and I wanted to listen and find out what the result was. And she like, when she showed up the next day, like I wanted to listen to what the result was. And she's like, so when it came time to me hiring a coach, like, do I want to go to the person who shared great tips about speaking on stage? I mean, like, yeah, she knows what she's talking about, but that person who told the story, she also shares those things. But now I feel like I know her because she shared her stories with me and I'm like involved. Like I really want to know the ending of like this story that she's in, right? Like she's telling it mid story. Now I want to know what happens. I want to know the results. And so when you can show up like that and be your whole self and not just the offer of what you're selling, like who wants to follow somebody that only talks about, like they're only talking about their offer? Even if I want to buy what you're selling, I don't want to just listen to you talk about what you're selling all the time. And then I think it's important because, yes, you still need to also talk about what you're selling, or like not even in the I'm selling this, buy it from me way, but to show what you like, that you know what you're talking about, and to give that authority. But it's so true. And I think about this in just like with social media. So if you have a reel that goes viral and a bunch of people come to your profile, but you have no other reels because that's the first one you posted, people aren't going to follow you because they're like, oh, okay, it's like a one-off. But if you have a bunch of other reels and they start watch those, and they're like, wow, this person really knows what they're talking about, well, then they're going to follow you and be like, okay, like I'm going to learn from this person because she's backed it up with proof. And it just goes to show exactly what you were talking about by having that work, like whether it's on social media or it's behind the scenes or it's blog posts or it's like just having that, having the experience, the clients, the all the things. If you don't start like right now, today, you're not going to build that up as quickly. And that's what it comes down to, is when you're taking action steps to achieve any goal, just start taking action, because every blog post that you post, every reel you post, you know, is something that backs up the history of all these things that you've created. So even if a reel fails and it totally flops, like it's still valuable content. I mean, hopefully, hopefully it's something that people are like, you know, liking, whether it got into with the algorithm or not, there's a part of it that people can go back to and be like, oh, that was really great. I actually really loved this reel. It's too bad it didn't do well. Like, you know, but just having it there. And so, yeah, to take action in what you want to do and to start building that. And the only way to do it is to do it.
Right, like, the clarity and the confidence only come afterwards. And it made me think of another, when you were just talking, and I think that what you said about the reel, is there one or are there 100, right? So, and we sort of know that basic marketing principle of people need to know, like, and trust you. And that only happens through consistency, through authenticity, and through being really clear on what your offer is. But there's another side to know, like, trust. And I just hosted a workshop on this, and it was really, like, I flipped it. I'm like, okay, so you're showing up, you're doing all the things, your clients are knowing, liking you, trusting you, but something's still missing. And that missing piece is you knowing, liking, and trusting yourself, which builds the trust in yourself that you keep going. So that when your reel tanks, supposedly, because it could go viral later, it could get likes later, it could be that one person that sees it later that leads to an opportunity. Nothing's wasted. I believe that nothing is wasted. If you know yourself and that's how you're showing up, and you like yourself because you're being authentic, and you trust yourself to keep showing up even when shit gets hard, then you're trusting the process. And that's when you click into resonance. And people are like, even if you're awkward, even if you're like, whatever, like people are not all poised and, you know, trained actors. Like here we are in this sort of era where anyone can press record. And it used to be that when someone was on a screen, they were a trained speaker, actor, presenter, whatever. And now it's not like that. And it's a great thing and it's a terrible thing. Terrible thing because I think 90% of what's out there could just be deleted and no one would ever miss it. And the 10% that's out there is still really good people showing up authentically. And the more authentically you can show up, that's when you start to feel that emotional connection. Now that emotion could be love, delight, joy, anger, resistance, opposing. Like you don't have to be the joyful presenter all the time, right? Life is real. So when people see that real side of you too, as much as you want to share, they also build the no-like trust factor. So if you are, like you said, like that your friend or whoever you knew chose that person because, yes, they could get A, B, C from both, but one connected emotionally. There was a mystery. There was a storytelling aspect. There was a connection. And something about the way that particular speaking coach showed up resonated with the way your friend probably wanted to show up. Not exactly that way, but there was something about the energetic presence of that person. They're like, oh, I want to kind of do it like that. Like that's an essence. There's an essence about this person that speaks to the essence within me. Doesn't mean I have to replicate it, which is very tricky because I think a lot of people try to show up like the trending algorithm. I'm never entertaining, but it's just like, and now let's get 1,000 of these. Like, it's interesting. It's something. There's some value in it, but it's just like, okay, can we just do something different? Like, can we just do something that's you? Like, give me boring, give me you. That's fine. Like, we don't have to all, I was just making a joke, but like, has everyone seen the ones where everyone's like doing that thing where going back and forth? And like, I don't know. Yeah. And I'm like, I told them, like, just watch. And like, I saw maybe 10 of them in the last 24 hours. Just watch. There's going to be 1,000. Like, every, which is cool and interesting and fun. And people are teaching it and people are using it. But okay, like, let me just press record and tell me what's important to you and what you have to offer and if it's for me. Like, that's a simplistic kind of version of it. So I think that no, like, trust factor has to go actually in multiple directions now that I think about it. If you know, like, and trust your clients too, oh my gosh, right? I know you. I'm very confident because I've had conversations with clients. I know what you need. I trust that you have what you need to work with me to get this amazing outcome. And I like you, so I'm going to show up. Like, we don't have to be best friends, but at least I like you and we want to be together and we're doing this project and here's a deliverable. Like, that really, like, that no, like, trust is a prism. It's not just one way. It's not just about you turning into something so that your audience likes you, knows you. It's about showing up as the real deal you, trusting that your client is going to show up as the real deal them, knowing if it's for you or not. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to persuade them. You don't have to NLP them. You don't have to, like, hypnotize them into buying from you. You just show up, right? So I think that really goes in all directions. And once you have that, like, sort of piece in place, now you just get to press record and create your beautiful flowers and talk about your coaching and just be the right coach for the person that needs you, not just everybody, yeah. Right?
If I could, like, hypnotize people into buying with me, man, I'd be rich because I'm certified in that.
And people do that. Like, why are we all addicted to Instagram? We're, like, literally hypnotized.
Yeah. Because there is hypnotic language in marketing, right? Like, people use hypnotic language. And I, like, we have a whole chapter in my manual, and I'm just like, feels so gross. Like, I know it's marketing and it's in life all the time, but just, yeah, be you. And, you know, when you're talking about the, like, no trust in yourself, it, like, circles around to what I first said in this episode, is being the identity of who you want to be. Like, when you know who you want to be, even though the under stuff is, like, happening underneath, but it's trusting that you are the person that you say that you are. Because if you don't trust that you're the coach, if you don't trust that you're a florist, if you don't trust that you're the wedding planner, like, you're not gonna be her yet. And so, yes, that's where the stuff underneath happens, where people don't see you doing all that work. But to get to that point where if you're really going to show up and get clients and charge what you want and do the thing, well, then you need to believe that your value is there, that your worth is there, that you can, that there's a reason people pay you, and there's a reason they choose you over other people. And, you know, that made me think of, I just shared this story yesterday with a friend, but back in, oh gosh, a long time ago, I booked a wedding planning client. So we had been going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And she actually didn't hire me because she chose somebody who had a cheaper package. And then a few months later, the client came back to me and she said, we want to hire you. Like, we hired this other wedding planner and she hasn't actioned anything. Like, we're eager to get started. And she told us we can't start till XYZ date because she has, like, other clients and this and that. And, you know, I stuck to my guns. I was like, this is what I charge. I charge this price because I only take on one wedding per weekend, where this other planner was taking on, like, multiple weddings per weekend. And she couldn't keep up with her clients. She was charging too little of a price. She was burning herself out. She was taking on too much. She couldn't pay attention to the clients that were booking her because she was too busy with all the ones that she had. And, like, that sounds great, but that's not a good thing, because you're not giving the right service to the clients that are, like, the new clients that are hiring you. And so, you know, I knew what my worth was. I knew the value that I gave, and I knew why I charged that price. And it was because when I charged more money, I didn't have to take on as many clients as her, which means that I could give my clients more attention and more service. And she actually ended up becoming a good friend of ours. And fun fact, she was on Hell's Kitchen. She was one of the chefs.
Oh,
fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's such a great example. Like, you have a choice, right? Because I love to think, like, what we do is a commodity. Being a coach is a commodity. There's a million coaches. Copywriter, you can hire a copywriter for $14 an hour, or you can hire me for $1,000 for a project, anything in between. So what you do is the commodity, but how you do it is that magic piece, right? Is that catalyst of connection. And that's the most important piece, because if you're like, and I, when I teach this in like messaging, it's like, tell me about what you do. I'm a life coach. Yay. That's awesome. Who do I refer to you? Well, anyone who needs coaching. Well, that's a million people. Like, that's a commodity. It's a banana. Like, give me a banana. Like, that's been sliced up and doused with maple syrup and a little salt. And like, now it's not a commodity anymore. Now it's a designed piece of deliciousness, right? So what you do as a coach or a service provider, or even, and I teach other copywriters too, is a commodity, because anyone can watch a Udemy course or YouTube or whatever, or get certified and do that. Once you understand the basics, the magic of a messaging piece is your recipe. It's like how you package it up, who you decide to work with, what excites you, what, yeah, like, and the pricing is just, is part of it as well, because I find when you get into the higher market, it's like people will not hire you if your price is too low. Just like I won't buy a pair of shoes for $20 unless they're like some flip-flops that I know I'm going to wear for a few months, because I want quality and I know quality costs. Maybe I'm conditioned socially that way, but it is also truth. Like, I've had very many pairs of shoes in my life. And the ones that I still have and I choose to invest in are the ones that are sturdy. I probably paid 10x the amount of that $20 or more, but they're still in my closet. They're still beloved. And they will still travel with me for many years. Clothes too. You can do fast fashion and it works for a season, whatever. Or you can invest in a beautiful blazer that you're going to wear for many. And I have those in my closet. Same thing when you're pricing your services. Like you said, you can have 100 shirts that you paid $10 for, or you can have one shirt that you paid $1,000 for. I guarantee you're going to love that shirt. You're going to take care of that shirt. You're going to dry clean that shirt. You're going to not wear it on the couch while you're eating a burger with ketchup. Like, you're going to care for it, right? And again, like, this isn't about luxury items or whatever, but in order to be the best of what you can be, you have to value what you do. And I actually just had a client hire someone else, but she told me she loved what I did. I had a great referral, like the whole thing. She loved my work. I did a test project. She was very happy with it. But the other person, she said, your price is 3x of what the other two people presented. And I just literally, I was like, I just said, yes. And I think what she expected me to say was, oh, okay, well, I'll do for less. But I know, and I have done this before. I have like contorted myself into the right position out of desperation or panic or need, or like, oh my God, where's my next client coming from? I've had those moments. And I found that the resentment that builds up, the overwork that builds up, is not worth it. Now, I have done lower price project very intentionally, and it was open. Like, she said, this is what I'm offering, but I want to be able to refer you to these kind of clients. I want to have worked with you. So I like sort of bent my pricing for her. And it was not a lot of time, but I knew, like, I already acknowledged the potential resentment, but I knew that the payoff and the outcome was going to be much higher, because if she knew my work, trusted me like me, I knew that she would be very comfortable referring me to people who also knew my real, my actual rates. So that was an intentional lowering of my fees to be able to work with her, to be able to have testimonial, to be able to have referrals. So, but if you are always bending yourself and you don't know what your actual rates are, you're not going to enjoy it. Like, you're not going to enjoy it, right? Like, too many people give up what they're doing, not because they don't like what they're doing, because they're not making enough. And somewhere in their mind, they don't think they can charge 10x or whatever it is. And that's a whole other podcast, I'm sure you have, those conversations. We're not going to get into that, but that is part of it. Like, having the right offer, having the right messaging, and having the right audience is the three key elements of knowing if you're going to move it forward. And if any of those are off, then if your offer is not priced well, or if it's not positioned well, the messaging's not clear, you don't know who you're selling to, how can you start a sales page and say, hey, I see you, if you don't know who you see? Like, hey there, woman who lives in America. Like, okay. Like, or hey there, toddler mama managing you know, lunch and bedtime and your gym, like, oh, that's me. Okay, I'm going to, that's a green light, right? Like, you're going to move forward. And I'm going to be red light because I'm like, nope, my son's in high school, going to college. Like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to have this conversation anymore. Like, you know what I mean? So but it's good because I'm not the right client for the coach who's dealing with toddler moms. Like, I have no desire to have that conversation anymore. I've been there, done that. But if she's like, hey, woman whose kid is about to transition out of high school and you're wondering what's next, like, okay, that's me. Let's talk. Are we talking hormones? Are we talking empty nest? Are we talking like marriage? What are we talking about? Right. But I'm going to lean in because I'm the right person.
Well, that's part of it too.
Showing up, yeah, and make sure you know who you're talking to very clearly.
Yeah. And I think it's really important too. And not even just for people who have a business, but like if you're showing up on Instagram, if you want to be like an influencer, anything, to have a personal brand where you're like, this is who I am when I show up. This is how I show up. You know, this is what I don't share about. When you talk about like refinement, it's like, refine yourself. We don't need to know like all your dirty little secrets. Like, be vulnerable and tell the truth. But like, you don't have to tell us all your dirty little secrets. Like, one of my pet peeves, and this is more business related, but there was one photographer back in the day when I was doing wedding planning. He would always share when like his business wasn't doing well, or like if he hadn't gotten clients in a while, and just like putting, like airing out all of his dirty laundry to Facebook. And I was like, because it was Facebook, it was like 10 years ago, but I was like, who's gonna want to hire you if you're always complaining about the fact that nobody's hiring you? Like, you're literally manifesting more people not hiring you, which was well before I was into the world of manifestation. But even then, it was just like, this is too much. Like, you don't share about that stuff. It's one thing to be honest and to be real with people, but people also don't need to know that you're like going through a rough patch unless you have a solution to that. And you're like, oh, I went through a rough patch and this is what I did, or this is what I'm going to do to fix it. Not just like to be up there complaining about things. Like, I think in general, mm-hmm. you should just avoid complaining on.
Yeah. To other and then people. Go through yeah. it and pull the lessons. And when you do share it, yeah. like you said, share what you did to get through it and show people that you're a solutions oriented person, that you are like a normal human, you had a low, this is how you got out of it. And that builds trust too, because people want to hire people they can, like if I'm hiring an expert to do my wedding, I'm trusting that you're going to lead me in it. Just like when you're a coach and if someone hires you, and you show up to the first call, you don't say, so how would you like today to go? Right? They're expecting you to say, this is how today is going to go. These are the first step. This is what the intention is today. This is what we're going to walk away with. Do you have any questions? And then someone's like, oh, okay, I can relax. Like, someone got me in this process. That's what it means to be an expert. And that's what it means to lead your client, right? If a client shows up to my messaging call and I'm like, so what do you want to do today? And they're like, when I got other things to do. And I actually did remember what I was going to say about the niche niche thing. When you niche, and you know exactly who you're talking to, something actually quite interesting happens. Even though you're speaking to that one person so clearly, you're going to get outliers who want to work with you too, because you are so confident and you are so clear and you are solutions oriented and you know who you're speaking to, that attracts someone who's like, well, I'm not your ideal client, but do you work with da 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 da? And you're like, of course I can help all these different people. But in order for the door to be clearly marked, when you walk through this door and you get coaching as a toddler mom and you get all the strategies for organizing your playroom, you get like, okay, great. What if I have a kid who's 8 years old, they're not a toddler, but can you help me too? Because I really feel like I need the organizing help too. Yeah, of course I can help you, but this is who I'm talking to. But there's an interesting thing that happens, right? Like, even though a pizzeria might be talking to people who really love pizza, people who like Thai food will also go if you make really good pizza, right? Because they like food in general. So when you're trying to figure out how to show up, like, let that fear of niching down happen, but understand that the more you really understand who you're talking to, you're still going to get other people who recognize competence and who recognize authority and who recognize energy that they want to be with. And that's how you're going to get those people who might not normally work with you. Even like if you work with females, you might get some males coming in and like, hey, do you normally coach? I know you normally coach with women, but I really like the messaging and I'm curious if you work with men. Of course, you can decide yes or no, but that's what starts to happen. Like, even though you only work with so-and-so, you'll start to attract.
It's funny because, I mean, you've seen my Instagram. It's I do a bazillion things. I have a bazillion offers, and I help different people, because the person who is planning a wedding and needs flowers is not necessarily the person who needs a coach, but like maybe alternatively they could be. But for, yeah, so for me, I'm like, okay, can't really like niche down too much in who I'm talking to, because I talk to different people all the time. But just being able to be like, you know, and that was a fear of mine for a while. I was like, hey, I don't want separate Instagrams. And I do have a separate like portfolio Instagram for my flowers. That's like just flowers. But when I was deciding, I'm like, well, I still do flowers. I still want that to be part of my main Instagram. But like, are people going to see all this coaching stuff and be like, why would I hire her as a florist? But then I'm like, but maybe they're going to be like, oh, look how like multi-talented she is. And like, look at all the things she's teaching. Like, she really knows her stuff. If she can do that, if she's teaching how to achieve goals, well, then obviously she knows how to achieve a goal in designing my flowers, or, you know, being on this business and doing this business. And I was just like, I just have to stop worrying about it so much and just live my life.
Yeah. And you will likely attract other people who can't figure out how to combine their passions, and they don't feel like getting rid of the passion. They want to still be whatever they want to do, but they also still want to do this and maybe make money at it. So you're going to automatically resonate with a certain kind of person who's not necessarily wants to do flowers or weddings, but they're like, I have my own work. Because when you're telling a story like that, our brains are so wired to connect with story. But even like, notice yourself, and I'm sure we all do this, when you're watching a movie or you're reading a book, your mind instantly tries to connect with, sympathize with, empathize with, be compassionate about, because we are taking elements of that story and making it about us. How would I do in that situation? What would I do in that situation? Like, that's just what our brains do. So when you're being all of that, I'm like, ooh, me like her like me, because I also have a passion that is not what I do. Like, there's, you know, there's like, our brains are doing this behind the scenes so that it's a green light. Like, I want to know more about, I will follow and I will watch. And then one day when you make an offer and I'm like, ooh, how cool, she's doing, you know, a flower designing course for people at home who want more beauty. And like, that's so cool, I want to do that. Or you're offering a coaching program about how to combine your passions as a multi-talented person. Like, oh, great. Like, so again, it's the perfect example of you're showing up being the most you, or you don't compartmentalize them. You're trusting that the people who are for you are going to resonate. And the people who are like, she's not focused, she should only do one thing. Boom. Great. Probably not your client anyway. Because you're going to be like, well, why can't you do three things that you love at the same time? You're a multi-talented person. You have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, and a lot of days in a year, and you can hit the board, and you can do it on Mondays only. And like, your brain already sees that way versus someone who doesn't see that way. And they're like, one thing, focus, or else my life falls apart. It's like, not someone else, right? Totally. Okay. Right. Yeah, I mean, and they might be questioning because they have a story around it themselves, but for the most part, it's going to be very easy to recognize your people and who you want to work with, because you're showing up. And it's not, doesn't mean like 100% of your life is online. It just means that things you want to share are shared. So, yeah. Me too. Oh my gosh, you bring two manifesting generators together and forget it. It might just be like a summit for 2 days.
Honestly. Yeah, what you said about like being a really good talker, and like that's why you have a podcast. I'm like, yeah, me too. Like,
I love it. That's perfect. That's a great little nugget of intuition to follow, and we'll have great results, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here and sharing all your wisdom. And I can't wait to get this episode up. I'll let you know when I do. I'll put all your links in the show notes, but if you want to quickly tell everybody where they can find you.
The best place is Instagram at Elena_Lipson. And from there, you can find my copy shop, which actually I just put in a product that was a recorded masterclass about finding your X factor and the three elements, like the three steps, how to get to what your core thing is and how to share it. And then, of course, I have prompt there as well. So, like, I love creative prompt because sometimes looking at a blank page is like, I don't know what to write today or I don't know what to post today. But with the prompts, I get a lot of ideas. It's how I work. So I created like 47 prompts that are just really creative, give me like starting points in a little Mad Lib style, but I give lots of examples. So if you don't know where to start, anyway, Instagram is the best place to stay up on all the latest things. And I share lots of writing tips and dance moves and stuff too.
Amazing. Awesome. That sounds so great. I'll definitely put that there. So if anybody wants to go follow Elena, you can find that in the show links and we will talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Feeling a bit lost in the world of manifestation? That's okay. We've all been there. But guess what? Your breakthrough is just a click away. Introducing the Neuroenergetic Manifestation Blueprint, your foolproof step-by-step roadmap to manifesting your dream. Designed for those new to manifestation or those who are feeling stuck, this blueprint is packed with neuroscience-backed strategies, journals, workbooks, and bonus tools to kickstart your journey to abundance. Don't let uncertainty hold you back. Take the first step for just $7 and start manifesting your best life today. Find the link in the show description.